Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is low overhead performance monitoring for your JVM with IBM monitoring and diagnostic tools for Java Health Center. Today's presenter is Toby Corbin. Toby joined IBM in 2001 to work in the Java Technology Center, Hursley, UK, where he spent several years enabling national language support on the IBM SDKs for Java before moving on to develop the Java Swing Class library code. Toby is currently working on enabling users of those SDKs to understand, debug, and diagnose application problems through the development of monitoring and diagnostic tools, including the IBM Monitoring and Diagnostic Tools for Java Health Center. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Toby.
Right, hello everybody. As Joseph said, my name is Toby Corbin and I'm a developer of the IBM Monitoring and Diagnostic Tools for Java Health Center tool. And this presentation today is all about what this tool can do for you to help monitor your Java applications. So if you can go on to slide number 2. So the agenda for this presentation will be, I'll give an introduction of the Health Center. I'm then going to move on to talking about how to diagnose some of the problems that you can do with the Health Center. I'll then cover how to install it, go to where we can find more information, then there'll be a Q&A session at the end. So let's start straight on with slide number 3. So what is the Health Center? Now, it's a live monitoring tool with a very low overhead, specifically for IBM Java 5 and Java 6 JVMs. It will not work with a Sun VM. Now, this is because we've managed to keep the overhead very low because we can directly call in to the, basically, like the back door of what the JVM does. We develop the JVM, therefore we know what it does. So we can keep an overhead of around about 2% at the moment for running the Health Center along with your application. It gives an insight into how your application is behaving. We can show you things like what class loading is doing, when your classes are being loaded, what your meta profiling is. So we can show that as your application runs, where is it spending all its time? Which methods are going to be ripe for optimization? We can show your garbage collection as it happens. So I'll show later on, but there'll be graphs of what your garbage collection is doing, and we can show pause times and analyze exactly where garbage collection issues may or may not be occurring. We also show the locking system. So any Java locks that are being taking place, we can show if the locking is potentially causing any performance problems with your application. Now, as well as showing the information, we also give you setup and tuning recommendations to help avoid application problems. So it's one thing just to be able to say, we can show you your application's doing this, but we go a stage further and give you recommendations based on that information so that you don't have to be an absolute expert in the area of the information you're looking at. We will give recommendations to help the user go away and exactly resolve some of the things we've been able to highlight. And it's not specific to a particular product or application. The Health Center will work with any application that will run on a Java 5 or Java 6 IBM JVM. So slide number 4. Now, this shows us just a slight overview of how the Health Center is configured. It's a two-stage part to the application. There's the client that's installed in the IBM support system, and this is where all the analysis takes place. And that connects to an agent. Now, the agent must be installed into your JVM, and it's enabled with a command line option. So it's a very small collection of files, basically a local library and a small jar file. This gets installed into your JVM that's being used to run your application, and you have to modify your command line option to make sure that you load the Health Center agent when your application runs. And it's that agent that enables the Health Center client to get the information from the VM to be able to analyze and give the data. So on to slide number 5. As I said, the supported platform is enabled for all platforms supported by an IBM Java 5 and IBM Java 6, excluding Solaris and HP. It provides monitoring of IBM Java 5 SR8 and above, and Java 6 SR1 and above. This is because the information that we are getting from the VM to display wasn't available in anything earlier than this. That's why SR8 is really the earliest VM that this will work with to give you any information, and the same for Java 6 SR1. Now, the optimum performance is obviously with the latest levels, because as we've been able to develop the health center, there's been newer Javas going out, so we've been able to build in more functionality into the later versions of Java. So currently, the latest levels of IBM Java 5 SR10 and Java 6 SR5 will give the best performance for the health center, but you will still be able to get the same information from earlier levels. Now, one of the things we've highlighted is it removes the need for manual log file management. Now, this is because the way we're getting the information out of the VM is through the trace engine. And on earlier Javas, we weren't able to manipulate the trace engine in a way that kept performance down. Or, sorry, not performance, but log file management down. So on things like Java 5 SR8 and Java 6 SR1, there would be a manual process at the end to clear up any trace files that were created. But on the newer ones, this is all taken care of for you. And we also have a significant improvement in native memory usage with the more recent levels of Java. So moving on to slide 6. What we're showing here is the class loading screen. Now, this is an example of a typical screen within the health center. They're all laid out exactly the same way. Basically, it's four panels. The top left-hand panel shows all the things we can currently monitor within the VM. We can see that it says classes, environment, garbage collection, locking, and profiling. Below that box is one that says recommendation, and that's where we display the recommendations that we generate from the information that we've processed. And then the right-hand two panels typically are going to show all the information as we actually analyze it. Now, this screen would have actually been navigated to from a main status screen. We don't actually have that status screen in the slide, but what that looks like is the top left status screen, which shows you the five perspectives, that will actually be full screen. And we can see there's icons, some green ticks, a yellow exclamation mark. What we do is, as we analyze the data, we give a recommendation there and then if we think that system, as it were, is actually healthy. Or by healthy, I mean it doesn't have actually any performance problems. So just on this screenshot, we're kind of saying that classes, environment, garbage collection, and profiling all have green ticks next to them. So from the data we've read so far for the application that generated this screenshot, we see there's no performance issue there. But next to locking, there's a yellow exclamation mark. Now that tells us that we've detected a possible performance problem, and you really should go and look at this system and see what we're recommending. Now, if we'd have found something that we thought, really, this is a problem, go and look at it right now, we'd be seeing a red cross by one of these subsystems. Now, say, this status panel is always visible. So even if you're going off looking at one of the other subsystems in more detail, you will still see this thing change should we detect something that's happened away from your current point of view. So then let's talk more about class loading. So the class loading panel as we see it, this is showing us when exactly your classes have been loaded during your application's current run. In the top right-hand panel, we see a sort of a graph with blue bars in. Now, the line density is showing the class loading frequency. If you think your application is suffering from class loading problems, or your startup time is quite slow, or midway through your application something goes wrong, you can come back to this view and see if the period of time that was not working as optimally as you thought was due to class loading. You can highlight an area of the screen, and the bottom panel that says class is loaded will show you at that point all the classes are loaded in that time span. And we can also see we've got the shared cache information. So we're able to see whether classes that you thought were in the shared cache are indeed actually being shared or not. And we'll be able to check for unexpected class loading and shared class caches. So this screen is all about what classes have been loaded throughout the run of your application. Remember, this is live, so any new classes that get loaded as you're watching this screen will appear, so the line density will change. Slide number 7. The next perspective or subsystem to talk about is the environment one. Now, the information we display here is quite simple, and it can be obtained by many other means, but what we're doing is bringing all the information about the environment your application is running on together in one place. So we're able to show things like the system properties, the class path, what PID your application's using, the boot class path, Java command line options. It is all simple data, but this is really useful, for example, if you were using the information to pass on to a support engineer, and they wanted to double check that, you know, you were actually running the right Java version, or you were have the right class path settings. That information will all be displayed here. So although it is very simple and you can get it from other places, we brought it all together in one place, so it's very useful for when debugging environment problems. And if we move on to chart number 8, one other thing we also do is we can check for non-standard options. So often systems, for example, have a U-limit setting which will result in truncated dumps being produced. We can notify this and notify you that this happened by saying the hard U-limit is set to 100, for example. So we can pull out anything that we notice could be wrong with your configuration. And also we're able to see if there's options that make it harder to detect problems at system startup. So we've called out here the X-verify none option is not recommended. It may improve startup time, but it brings a risk of reduced JVM stability. So all these things are coded into the health center, so if anything has been set that may not be optimum on the command line, we can highlight this and display it on this screen. Chart number 9, we've got the garbage collection. Now what we're able to do here is to visualize the garbage collection as it happens. So we'll have you've got your live feed coming in, and through graphs, we can see the top two graphs in the top right-hand corner. We can see what the heat's doing. We can see what the used heat's doing. We can see what the pause times. So you can really see exactly what GC is doing, whether there are any problems coming on, and see how your memory usage is being handled. You can spot, for example, if you have a memory leak, because your used heat graph will start to slowly increase. We give tuning recommendations, looking at the bottom left-hand panel, showing what we think the mean occupancy is and whether it's optimal. We can highlight that heat usage is growing over time. And we can give recommendations on settings to change on startup to maybe increase the size of the maximum heat. We also have a summary panel that checks your GC rate and time statistics, where we can show you how long the time is spent in garbage collection and the mean interval. So if we can move on to chart number 10, we've got this thing in more detail. So for example, I mean, how would we detect a memory leak? So looking at the graph, we've got an application suddenly receives extra load and starts to use more memory. And we can see that from where the graph's going. The blue line at the bottom is the used heap after collection. And around about 51 seconds, it just starts to suddenly increase. And at the same time, the heap size, which is the line in red, also starts to increase. Now what we've seen in the tuning recommendations in the left-hand corner, we've said, look, your heap usage seems to be growing over time. And also we're saying if you don't know of a reason why the memory requirements for your application should be growing, your application may be leaking memory, consider reviewing it. Now as it happens in this case, it's not actually a memory leak because the application was intended to start consuming memory because of what it was doing. But we are able to still highlight this and say, please be aware that at this point, something started to go wrong. And if this is happening live and this is a recommendation, you can start monitoring straight away to see if there is actually a problem. And look to see what to resolve it. Now on chart number 11, we've got the GC performance in more detail. So this summary page shows you exactly the statistics around your garbage collection. And this is a really valuable page to be understanding whether there is any sort of GC performance issue. We've got the top one, the mean garbage collection pause in milliseconds. A low pause times means that garbage collection is unlikely to be causing any responsiveness problems. But if we had a high pause time, and every time garbage collection kicked in, we had to wait maybe 2 or 3 seconds, depending on your application, that might be quite critical. If it was a GUI application, for example, and you're just moving your mouse across the screen and the mouse kept pausing, well, it's a problem, but maybe not that critical. But if it was a stock market application, and because the garbage collection kept making pause times at the same time you're trying to update the latest stock time, that's going to be quite a critical problem. So we can see here how long the application is pausing for garbage collection. We can also see, 3 rows up from the bottom, the time spent in garbage collection. Now this is 40.1% in this application, which is telling us that almost half the time the application is running is being spent doing garbage collection. Now it may be that that's the case, your application is actually written in such a way it generates lots and lots and lots of objects, but if you didn't know that, then you didn't know why your application was performing badly, this is going to give you the information you need to go away and look at exactly what your application is doing around its GC policies. So onto slide 12, we have the locking perspective. Now, we're able to here to check for locks that might prevent your application from scaling. Now, what we can do is we can record every time a Java lock request is made. And we also have details around whether it's a successful acquire or whether the lock was blocked on the request, and things like the average hold time, whether it was a recursive lock. And we can show in a graph via colors and heights just how well that Java lock is actually performing and whether you have a locking problem. So slide 13 shows this in more detail. In the top right, we have some orange bars. Now, the way we identify in the application whether we think your lock has a problem or not is via two methods. We show the height of the bars indicates relative to each other which lock is actually being blocked the most. Okay? So we can see four bars really in that chart. They're quite high compared to all the other ones, and they're all orange. Now, the reason they're orange is because the height indicates the number of times they were blocked, and the color actually shows the percentage of the overall request on that lock of whether it blocked. So by that I mean, let's say we had a lock that was requested 100 times, but only blocked once. A 1% block isn't that critical. But if it was requested 100 times and blocked 99 of those times, we have a 99% blocking rate. And therefore, in that case, the height of the graph would be 99 high, as it were, but also be showing as red, because the overall blocking of that is quite critical. And in the bottom panel, we have the details, exactly the details about this locking problem. So we can see that the top line on the data store, so this application is a data storage application with objects being put into a store and taken out of the store. So there's locking involved in it because you don't want to have the objects having things put in and taken out without locking. So we can see that in this example, the top line is a percent miss of 58%. Now, we had 918 total requests on this lock, of which 532 blocked. That shows overall we didn't obtain the lock 58% of the time. We've got an average hold time there, and then below that we've got the next lock, which shows it was percentage miss of 73%. 894 gets, 649 of those slow. So that was a 73% overall. So we can show here the locking, and again, this is all live, so as the locking objects change, these graphs will move up and down as the application runs. So slide 14. We're moving now on to method profiling. Now, what we're able to do here is be able to show exactly which methods your application is running and where it's spending all its CPU time. We show a table that lists all the methods that have been profiled, and the table can be sorted in any order, but we default to be sorted in cell percentage, so i.e. which method spent the most time within itself. And we can show the call hierarchy of how we got to that method, and also what that method then goes off and calls. So I'll move straight on to slide 15 because we have a better example. So how would we identify a method causing poor performance? So looking at this table in the top right, we can see we've got a Java util regex pattern.compile method. And that itself is taking up 21.2% of the CPU. So that means that whilst the application is running, almost a fifth of the time is being done in that method. So we would say that method is a hot method. It stands out from all the other ones because it's so high. So if we're looking at an area to go and optimize, the best place to optimize is where your application is spending all its time. So in this case, it's this pattern.compile. So looking in the bottom left-hand box, where we show the call methods from pattern.compile, we've highlighted it, and drilling down into it, we can see that actually it seems to be spending, pattern.compile seems to be spending all of its time doing a find screen name, follow account.find screen name. So we know what the top method is that's causing a problem, but drilling down, we can actually see what the ultimate call is, and that appears to be in this find screen name. So if we look on to slide 16, we have what the find screen name method is actually doing. And we can see it does this pattern.compile every single time find screen name is called. So this would be, in this example, really good option that we could cache this compiled pattern. So what we've done is we've cached this, we've relaunched the health center against the same application, and now we can see by looking at the method table in the bottom right hand corner, we no longer have the regex.compile as the hottest method. That's now gone away. We now have a new one at the top, the buffered read.read line, and we can go again. We can now go up and optimize that. So this is a really, really invaluable developer tool for optimizing your code by using this method profiling. Now, unlike other method profilers, this one's always on. Because of our low overhead, we're able to run profiling all the time. You don't have to go and specify, I only want to say, look at this one part of the application. You have to fine-tune the profiling switch bits off and on. You get it all the time. So there's no need to go and worry about fine-tuning parts. So move on to slide 17. Now, one of the things we've been able to do with this is we can export all the data the health center has analyzed so it can be given to another consultant who could then load that data back into their version of the health center and analyze it at a later date. And they'll see exactly the same information that the live connection would have seen. So we're able to have, for example, a sysadmin could be monitoring an application, see something go wrong, export all the data, pass to one of their developer people, could load in the data at a later date, see exactly what went wrong, all the information will be there, and they can then go and do the same, drilling down into method profiling or look at the garbage collection and see what's going on in their locking. The information will all be there. So slide 18. So now I've talked a bit about things the health center can do and what it looks like. How do you actually install it? So to install the health center client, it's installed through the IBM support system. Now there are detailed instructions on the DeveloperWorks webpage, and there's links in a few slides time with all this information on. But you have to have installed the IBM support assistant first, and then you install the health center client within that. So it's a component, a tools add-on for ISA. We've also created a YouTube video, which there's details of later on, which takes you through this whole process as well. So installing the client is quite straightforward. You install ISA first, and then through the ISA install mechanism, you get to how to install the health center client. So slide 19. Remember I said at the beginning the health center was a two-stage affair. You have the client, which is the graphical part of the analysis, and also the agent that needs to sit within your JVM. So how do we install the agent? So this is a manual step at the moment. It's applied as a zip or PAX file, dependent on your architecture, and it's unzipped into your SDK or JRE's installation directory. So the newer versions of Java do actually ship with an agent already installed, but it is worth upgrading that agent because obviously as we've developed the health center further, we've made improvements to this agent, and to upgrade it, your agent on these versions of Java would be the right thing to do. Now the agent itself does all come packaged with the health center client. So once you have the health center client installed through ISA, the agent packages are there within the help system and you can get to them to download there to put onto the machines if you want to monitor them. And then once the agent has been installed into your JVM, you just need to restart your application with the appropriate option to enable the help center. And again, we have another video available to talk you through that. Slide 20. This is where we get more information from. So here we have a health center page on DeveloperWorks that has installation guides and links to all the videos. We have the videos there if you want to go and watch, and there's a very good overview video, client install and agent. We also have a forum that's quite active which you monitor and respond to. And we also have an email ID, javatool@uk.ibm.com for any problems or issues with the health center tooling. So on to slide 21. Now this chart includes links to a number of sites to provide valuable online resources for website products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. You can visit webspeed.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education System consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update and view PMRs online. And the My Notification link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Okay, now that brings me to the end of this presentation. I'd thank you for your time, and I'll now pass you back to Joseph.
Thank you, Toby, for a great presentation. At this point, Callie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Our first question comes from Teresa Parker. Your line is open.
Hi, I've got a question concerning this health center tool as it relates to its capability to monitor and report using a system that's running WebSphere Express 6.1 and the 32-bit JPM 1.5. Will this tool help me out with that?
Providing that version of WebSphere is running on the correct level of the IBM Java, then yes, it will. It's the only requirements on the health center is that your level of the IBM Java is the correct one. Any program and application can sit on top, so yes, so WebSphere will work with it, providing it's at the exactly right, it's got the right level of Java within it.
So it will run and give me real-time results, as we were seeing on the screen, you know, through the presentation you...
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Okay. So this is capable of that. I just need to find documentation that helps me set it up.
There are, if you install the health center through ISA and go into the help that comes with it, there are specific instructions for installing it into WebSphere environments.
Okay, other than just on the desktop. Because I'm using the support assistance for analyzing logs that come out of a WebSphere environment running on a system that helps me figure out, you know, garbage collections and such as that. But
would that be the GCMB tool?
I don't think so. It comes with the support assistant workbench, and I'm using the tool that's IBM monitoring. This diagnostic tools for Java garbage collection and memory.
And memory analyze, yes, that's GCMB. So that one's also developed by our team as well. So as you've already got the ISA installed, you'll be able to easily go off and do your tools add-on and install the health center. Then the health center help will be able to point you exactly how to configure your WAS environment so that we can then monitor it through the health center. So that should work fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Graham Lester. Your line is open.
Yes, we're using the ITCAM product to monitor WebSphere, and I was wondering if some of this functionality would be rolled into that product since it already has a data collector and instruments for JVM.
We have actually had discussions with the ITCAM people about whether to move our data into a place that ITCAM can pick it up, and that sort of development work is ongoing. So at the moment, there is no plans to actually do that, but we are aware of that possibility, and we are having the conversations around getting that to work.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Raghu Srinivasan. Your line is open.
My question is, how different is this from using Wiley or ITCAM? What's the difference? I understand this is one of the free tools, but what is the significant difference between this and ITCAM and Wiley?
It's free, and also it's such a low overhead. That's the main thing. It's such a low overhead. Certainly with the method profiling, you don't have to worry about enabling parts or not parts of your application to work. It would just sit there and run. That's its huge selling point, that it is such a low overhead. You don't have to do any bytecode instrumentation either. You just enable it at the command line. And I think I didn't actually mention it, but to enable these things at the command line, if you're on the latest version of Java's, all you need to do is put -X health center. That's all you put on the command line to enable it. It really is very straightforward. So its main selling point over Wiley and ITCAM is the fact that it is such a smaller, low overhead application.
Okay, follow-up on that is, you mentioned like we can export the data and import it into another support assistant tool. The question is, like, when we export data, is it like only the data that is currently captured or currently being looked at that point of time, or does it have the capability to do historical analysis as well?
So it's what the health center does is it's actually storing all the data it would have recorded. So if you've been monitoring for an hour, you will have an hour's worth of data to export. Now what we do is, to try and keep the footprint down, we do some compression of the data, so that obviously if we keep storing more and more and more data, the amount of hard disk space we're going to use on someone's machine is going to be huge. So we have a configurable option where we can say, don't compress data, and therefore I have lots of disk space, please keep using it, that's okay, or we can compress it. And what we do is we take aggregate data, so if you've got, say, five data points of GC, we look at those and take a mean value and then store that back into the health center. So your overall picture will be the same. It just means as you start to drill down into the information, at some point you'll get to the point where you can't go any further because you've zoomed in as far as you've gone for the compression points. But no, you will have the same length of time value of data when you export it. So it won't be just a snapshot. You will be able to go and see all the historical data.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Chuck Tian. Your line is open.
I have a question regarding the profiling feature. In order to get real-time profiling, do I have to enable anything or add a library for like say MPI or anything like that? Or I can do it on my production machine just with lower, very, very low overhead?
Well, we don't recommend it on production machines on earlier versions of Java because of the fact that we weren't able to control the amount of trace being produced. As I said, trace is how we get the information out. So on the early versions of Java and on production machines, it's not recommended. But you don't have to do anything special to get profiling out. Just once you've enabled the health center agent, you get everything. You'll get all your garbage collection, all your locking, all your profiling. It's just the one command line invocation of health center, and then you get everything.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Kevin Grigorenko. Your line is open.
Hi. Two quick questions. First, this only supports one active client to the agent, correct?
That's right. If you have a second client connected to the agent, then the first client will get kicked off.
Okay. And the second question is, obviously, the client agent are talking over a socket. If, let's say, something happens on that network, could that destabilize the JVM?
So if we use a JMX connection to go through. So if the health center gets to the agent and the network dies, is this what you're saying? And do we have the reconnection capability?
Right. That or if the connection becomes slow, could that affect the performance of the JVM?
Right. So the JVM of the application you're monitoring won't be affected. All that will be affected is the amount of data we're pulling back across to the client. So the agent just generates data and it sits there waiting for the client to grab it and say, please give me more, please give me more. And the client, the GUI, will self-tune. So if it finds it pulls data back and it knows there's a lot more to get, it will keep requesting and requesting and requesting. When it starts finding that it's a certain threshold of data is not coming back, it will automatically slow itself to not request so much data. So if the network slows, your application won't be affected, but the client GUI will just not produce much data back.
And then a quick follow-up on that, is there a limited buffer in the JVM? Or, let's say I'm taking data too slowly but from the client, could I potentially increase the memory usage of the JVM?
To generate more data on the JVM side?
Well, let's say I'm generating a lot of data on the JVM side.
Yeah.
And that obviously has some memory implications in the JVM. And I'm taking it too slowly from the client side. Could there be... is it kind of a rolling buffer so it'll just throw stuff away in the JVM? So.
On the more recent versions where we can control it, it does become a rolling buffer.
Okay.
On the earlier versions, we're just basically outputting to a flat file, so that flat file will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's why at the beginning of the presentation I said we have better log file management. It's because we now can control that, whereas on the earlier Java versions we couldn't.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Venkat Sira. Your line is open.
Can this agent be enabled and disabled on the runtime?
Oh, well, actually, at runtime. No, it can only be started as the application starts. So it's either off or on. We can't switch it off and on whilst your application's running.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Mayor Pan. Your line is open.
Yes. Can we correlate data from different JVMs for profiling purpose? For example, we have for process server, the VPC JVM and the messaging JVM. They are different, but they make calls from one JVM to other. So can it correlate the calls from different JVM?
No. Unfortunately, the health center is only a connection to a single JVM. And we also don't have the capability to be able to use it to, say, compare two different VM runs within the health center. So, no, it unfortunately can only connect to one VM.
Okay, thank you. I have one more question.
Okay.
Does this help to troubleshoot hung thread conditions or just the memory issues and profiling? What happens when you're monitoring and the server doesn't respond or, if you experience a hung thread condition?
It doesn't show that at the moment. But the thing about the health center is it's a continually developing tool. So this isn't a one-off release, what it does now. We're looking to have further releases going forward. So if there's any, if anyone uses the health center and has some really good ideas like that one for ways of improving it, then please let us know in the forum, because this is the sort of thing we want to do with the health center, is have these exactly these ideas coming in from users of how they can use it better. So at the moment, no, but we are going to be releasing more versions of it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Kelly. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.